Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Do not adjust your TV sets or radios. That is right. You are listening to another episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Backlog, the podcast where each week, well, each 2 weeks now, we play a game from our backlog and then we jump on here and we have a talk about it. I am your host, Adam, and today I am joined, as always, by my co-host. He's got a foot long from Subway and he ain't afraid to use it. It's Kieran.
Well, hey there. Let me just put my footlong away. The audience don't want to know about that, Renee.
I heard it's sopping wet with sauce. Is it a sure meatball is. Footlong? Because they get soggy real quick.
it's a meaty one. That's true. There's no sauce there. It's very dry.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's been a good 2 weeks since I last spoke to you. What the fuck has been going on?
Well, the big thing that's been going on is that good old England's gone back into lockdown, so that's what's been going on. Pretty much a great deal of not much, because we can.
Yeah.
So basically just a lot of staying indoors doing some work and doing gaming and stuff. It's not that bad, really. It's not much different from usual, actually.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I hate to rub it in, but Australia is coming out of lockdown, or especially Melbourne and Victoria, so now I'm able to go out and get drunk and see my friends and socialize again, so I've been pretty busy.
Is it going to be back to normal, or is there still going to be some restrictions?
There's still restrictions. Gyms are opening back up again tomorrow, and certain places like theaters are still closed. You can't dine indoors. You can only eat outdoors, I think, and the masks are going to be constant for like the next 6 to 12 months. So that's kind of shit, but
yeah.
I think we're going for elimination, not suppression, so fingers crossed if we eventually get it completely wiped out, everything will return to normal, because it doesn't really feel like the lockdown is lifted. It just feels like, hey, you get to do slightly more things, but there's still an epidemic.
Just a slight easing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of nice, but
yeah.
Unless I can go to a club and like rub shoulders with people on the dance floor, I don't consider it free from lockdown, because we're still supposed to be socially distant.
Yeah. Just rub shoulders, but from 2 meters
yeah,
apart.
Yeah, I mean, I miss touching people.
Bring big old sticks and you can just poke each other.
You need to get more footlongs from somewhere.
Yeah, that's what you need. How to measure the distance. So how about you? What have you been up to this past few weeks?
Well, besides the socializing, I'm looking for a new place to live. So, part of that includes inspections and rental inspections and trying to find an apartment. And I have a story that I need to tell you.
Well, please proceed. I'm ready to hear the story.
So, I was at an inspection for an apartment, a really good apartment that I actually applied for and I'm hoping to get, but haven't heard back anything yet. So, fingers crossed. But when I arrived for the inspection time, three police officers arrived just before me, and the downstairs apartment, they knocked on that door and issued a restraining order against the guy that lived there. So I had to like walk through these police officers to go past them and then up the stairs to where the inspection was. And then the whole time I was there talking to the real estate agent, like literally just below the landing, because we're like just one floor up, we can hear everything that's going on. And she's trying to like make conversation with me, and I'm just like staring down the landing, like eavesdropping on what's going on with this guy and why he's getting a restraining order, and I couldn't quite make it out, but God, it was interesting.
Well, I've never had that in a house situation, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that scared off the rest of the applicants so I can get it.
Oh, and then, true.
Yeah. I'm hoping that, because there was one, I think I saw three other people that inspected it. There was only one I was worried about, which was a lady who was dressed in like business attire. And I was like, oh, damn, she looks like she's got money. She's probably going to get this apartment.
Gross.
And so hopefully the restraining order guy scared her away so I can get it.
Well, that would be perfect if so.
Yeah, she's my only competition.
All right. Well, you know, anyway. I'm praying for you, man. I hope you get it.
Thanks. I'm praying too. Hail Jesus.
Hail Jesus. And you can finally get away from the blanket forts in your house.
Yes, and many other issues that I do not want to get into depth with on here or I'll get in trouble.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll tell you guys about it eventually when I'm free and not at risk of being poisoned.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to that.
All right. So let's get on with the episode. This week, we are talking about Gravity Rush. Okay, so Gravity Rush was released on the PlayStation Vita all the way back in 2012. It was developed by SIE Japan Studio. Their development team is called Team Gravity. And the concept was conceived by director Keiichi Toyama, who is also known for Silent Hill and the Siren series, which is, I think it's called Project Siren in maybe Europe?
Yeah.
Yeah, not too sure. I think it actually has a completely different name in Europe and America as well. So, yeah, don't set your watch to that because I have no fucking clue. But
I have just set my watch to that.
Yeah,
well, how dare you?
What a very foolish thing to do because now you're never going to know what time it is.
God damn it.
Gravity Rush is an action-adventure video game which sees you playing as a girl named Kat. who... coincidentally can manipulate gravity with the help of her cat called Dusty, who instead of fur has like some sort of galaxy skin that he got from Fortnite.
That's where he got it. He paid those sweet money for the little microtransactions.
That's it. Dusty went onto the eShop, completed a microtransaction, and is now wearing a galaxy skin. So, Kat and Dusty, Kat is an amnesiac. She wakes up one day in this slum and is like, whoa, an apple. Where'd that come from? And then finds out she can manipulate gravity. And then all of a sudden, she sees herself sort of caught up in this city that she's in, which is a floating city in the sky. And she just starts helping the people that live in the city. And that's the gist of it, really.
And the city is called Hexville, right?
That's it, Hexville. Hexville. But don't ask me what the different districts are because I cannot pronounce those names and I will not attempt to.
Plejune, right? That's like the pleasure quarter, right?
Yeah.
Am I right? I don't
should
know.
Say, I don't know. But everything is very au français style.
Oui, 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 oui.
Oui, yeah. Oui, so French.
Oui, oui, very oui.
There's another district called El Hemorrhoid, which is the district of hemorrhoids.
I love that one. That was my favorite district. I felt really at home there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you've got like various different parts of the world, which are like very European, but they're not all like typically French. There's one that's very like Amsterdamish, and then there's another one that's almost like New York.
Yeah, I saw a video that described them like that, but while I was playing the game, I just thought, oh, it's France. It's different sections of France.
Yeah. Well, didn't know, I think part of the game was inspired by a French artist. I can't remember his name, but he did a graphic novel.
Jean Giraud.
Jean Giraud. Okay, him. Yeah. Apparently he did a little comic. I think it was called like The Inca or something. Which was very much in the style of Gravity Rush. Or the other way around. Ah. Gravity Rush was in the style of that.
Let's just jump into the graphics and the art style then, because I actually think that this is probably one of the game's strongest attributes is the style of the world and the character design and the way it's presented to you is so delicious.
Oh, it's really nice. And it's probably one of the best looking games on the Vita.
Yeah, I had some issues with it. It's a little bit muddy on the Vita, and I found myself wishing that I was playing the PS4 version.
Yeah.
I should say that I played this on the Vita. I did not play the PS4 remaster.
Yeah, and I should also mention that I haven't actually played it in about 3 years. So I've only played it on the Vita got Platinum, and haven't really played it since. Although I did play a bit of Gravity Rush 2 a few years ago when it came out, and there was a demo. That looks a lot nicer. And I've heard that the PS4 version of Gravity Rush is the definitive edition. It's the one you should play. So if you've got the option, go for that one for sure.
Yeah. Well, Vitas are in short supply. So I doubt you would even find a... actually, I think Gravity Rush, the game for Vita, is easy to come by. But who knows how much that's going to cost.
It's not that bad. It's one of the cheaper ones.
Yeah, well, apparently the game didn't sell that well.
I heard it only sold about 200,000 copies.
Yeah, I saw another video on YouTube that was like, oh, the games actually did really well. The first game did a combined total of 1 million units for PS Vita and PS4 combined. I'm like, that's not that well.
Yeah, combined, that seems pretty low.
Yeah, that's not great.
Depends on what they were aiming for, how much they spent and how much they got.
Yeah, well, I don't think 1 million sales for a single game could really be considered a success nowadays, at least.
No. Oh, well. I mean, I think playing it on Vita is, like, the way to go in some respects, even if it's not the best edition, purely because it seems to me like such a pure Vita game, being that I think it was a launch game on the Vita. And to me, it's just, like, one of the definitive Vita games. So, playing it on the PS4... although it would be fine and probably better in some respects, it kind of feels nice to actually play it on its origin console.
Yeah. Well, I thought the cutscenes looked really nice on the Vita, but I found that while I was playing the game in motion, I was wishing that I was playing the PS4 version, not just because it's like high definition and upscaled and all that sort of stuff, but the screen size for the Vita, and maybe I'm just really old, but playing it handheld, I couldn't take in how pretty the whole thing actually is until I was able to stop where I am and actually look around. But in motion, I found it kind of just blurry and muddy.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's quite a busy game. And they also have the draw distance as well. Like, you can't see very far at all. It goes misty and gloomy. I don't know if that's just like a lacking of power on the Vita or a actual choice from the designers, because I know some people like how it does that, but I don't know, I wasn't too keen.
I think from what I've heard, the draw distance stuff, so far away objects look significantly lower quality, but that was a conscious choice to at least have it still visible rather than pop in.
Okay.
So there's like a black outline on you know, like beams that are hundreds and hundreds of feet away, or feet. I don't use that system. I use metric. hundreds of meters away. So at least it's still visible, but it looks non-detailed until you get closer, and then the detail sort of pops in. So it's got like this haziness over it, but at least you still know where you're going and what's in that direction.
Yeah, it's like you can see an outline.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is quite nice, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I mean, it beats the whole, like, where you play games, like, you're running through a field of grass or whatever, and as you're getting, like, 2 or 3 meters in front of you, the grass is visibly popping in.
Yeah.
And you can just see it. So, in that respect, I think that was a good idea. But, yeah, what were we talking about? Yeah, it's a pretty game.
It's a pretty game, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very unique style.
Positives. So, music. How good is the music?
Ah, we're going straight into the music. Nice. I like that. Yeah.
We always leave the music till last and forget about it.
Yeah.
The whole presentation of this game itself is an A+, and, you know, music goes hand in hand with graphics. So, tell us about the music.
Music is such a huge part of video games. So, it's like, if it's bad music, it's just going to hamper your experience of the game. But in this game, for me, it was definitely one of the best features, and it certainly, like, pushed it to be one of those games that I quite like and really remember. Although, I think I said to you before that I only really took notice of the music when I listened to it on its own outside of the game, and I'm trying to work out why that was, and it might have been just because I was, like, sometimes might have been playing the Vita while watching something and not really having the volume on, you know? So not really taking much notice of music. But there was definitely a few kind of things that really stood out. Like, I love the Pleasure District song, which is kind of like a gypsy jazz bebop tune with a violin and stuff. Sounds pretty cool. But, I mean, when you listen to it on its own, it sounds... it doesn't really sound like typical video game music, if you know what I mean. It kind of feels more like cinematic at times, but also it has a life to it, like it's live music kind of being jammed sometimes too.
Yeah, look, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth, because I did not really, like, the music did not make that much of an impression on me while I was playing it, because something about playing it on the Vita, the speaker quality isn't that great, and I would just turn the volume down rather than put headphones in. And I think one of the reasons why I do that is because the headphone jack is right on the bottom of the Vita, and I tend to rest the Vita on a pillow when I'm like lying in bed, so it makes it hard to play while I have a headphone cord in the bottom.
I know exactly what inserted. You're saying, yeah. Just be stabbing you in the chest.
Yeah. And so a lot of the time while I was playing this, like you, I was probably watching something else. Actually, come to mention it, I didn't mention it in the beginning, but I watched all 12 Alien and Predator movies in chronological order. But we'll get into that another time. And so I was playing while I was watching stuff, and the music didn't really quite click with me. That some tunes stood out, like the Pleasure District had that like jazzy music that stood out. And there was one other district music that stood out as well. I can't remember which one it was, though. I think it was the New York themed one. Kind of reminded me of like, a Flappers 1920s speakeasy type of thing.
Yeah.
But the French district was very en français, like oui oui kind of thing.
It had the little accordion, I think, didn't it? Very Français. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole thing felt very European, so that stood out.
Yeah.
But when I like played the OST today with headphones in, just doing my thing, it actually like gives you this sort of, I don't know, it gave me an emotional response to it, one which made me feel guilty for not listening to the music more in depth while I was playing the game.
Yeah, so, that's kind of what I felt too. It was really interesting. Like, they've got orchestral pieces, but then they modernized them by having a drum kit and an electric bass playing along. And it's like, I don't remember that at all, but it sounds so cool. It's almost got like a fusion with classical music going on. It's very cool.
I wonder, though, if potentially the music that we're listening to, like the OST on YouTube or wherever you're listening to it, could be the remastered OST and maybe not the Vita one.
Maybe.
But it definitely...
I don't think they would have changed it.
Yeah, true. Well, I don't know. Like, I mean, potentially.
Remastered it or something, but yeah, I don't think they would have actually changed the composition or added anything like drums to it or something.
They could give the music like a lot more depth and sound quality.
Absolutely, so,
I'm thinking maybe that's what it is, but yeah, the tunes on their own, I could definitely see myself playing it while I'm, I don't know, studying or something like that.
Yeah.
If I need like a backing music and I'm, I don't know, editing or writing a story about how sad my life is or whatever it is.
I'll the usual stuff.
Put some of that on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if I'm jacking off and crying, I need some emotional music.
That's right.
And I'll go to Gravity Rush.
What's better than Gravity Rush? Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't actually said that the composer was Kohei Tanaka, who is a pretty prolific composer. He's done lots of anime films, and quite a few video games too. The only ones that I know that he's done that I've played are Alundra back on PS1, which is a classic game, super damn hard, and Resonance of Fate, which is interesting because this game has like... I was going to mention Resonance of Fate because of this kind of pillar system that the world is. It's kind of similar to Resonance of Fate.
Yeah, I've never played Resonance of Fate. I think I have it. I'm 90% sure I have it. I just haven't gotten to the point where I've played it yet. But yeah, you're right. It's got that sort of industrial sci-fi style to it. And in the center of the world is a pillar. So it's very similar in that respect.
Yeah.
Not so much gameplay-wise, but you know.
No, not at all.
But yeah, Kohei Tanaka also did Sakura Wars. I don't know which ones he did, but I did play the one that was on the Wii, which was really good.
according to his Wikipedia list, he did one in 1996 and then Sekiro Wars in 2019. So I don't know which one they are.
The 2019 would be the brand new one, I think.
Well, I mean, given that it's made in 2019, that's kind of
yeah, okay, shut up.
But yeah, the music is very good, and I would highly recommend that anyone who's played the game or who hasn't just gives it a listen, because it's a really standout thing and it's worth listening to.
Yeah, if you're the type that likes to put on video game or film soundtracks for background music while you're studying, this is a good one.
Yeah,
I recommend it.
You don't even have to like the game or have played it at all. Just give it a listen, and I think you can like it.
Yeah. So, speaking of playing the game, do you like it?
Well, I think so. I think I did like it. Thinking back for 3 years ago. And I have vague recollections of frustration. Quite a lot of frustration, especially when it comes to combat and stuff. But overall, I have a fond memory about it. And I'm going to put that down to the kind of...
Nostalgia?
There's probably a little bit of nostalgia.
Yeah.
But also, I like the... I remember really liking the characters. Like, the main character I really liked. I thought she was well-written, likable and relatable at times as well. And I just thought she was quite a good character. It was quite a nice, refreshing take on a protagonist.
Yeah, look, I actually agree with you. I really, really liked Kat as a character. I love that she just sort of gets on with it and is willing to help, but she's not like, she's not like a Superman type of figure that's like, oh, justice and goodness and blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, fuck, you look like you need help. I'm going to help you out. She just seems like real, kind of down to earth.
Apparently, she was inspired to be like a superhero along the lines of Batman, but to me, it feels like more of a Spider-Man sort of thing. Yeah, just that like...
Yeah, friendly neighborhood cat.
Exactly. Exactly that.
Yeah.
He just goes around to defeat bad guys and help out the innocents.
Yeah, so she'll... one of the things that caught me off guard with this game is I didn't really know what I was expecting. And so when it came to certain missions and things that Kat ends up doing, I was like, really? We're like halfway through the game and you're going to try and find a love letter that was dropped down below the city? That's the mission?
It seems a bit petty, yeah.
Yeah, like she does this sort of... Like, no deed or good deed is too small for her to try and do. So, she, like, you know...
She needs to learn when to say no.
Yeah. She does, like, the weirdest things. Like, you'd think that as the game progresses, her a sense of urgency would build up, or the things that that's presented to her and missions that she needs to do would be more serious, I suppose. But no, it's like... Hey, run an errand for me or put these sensors up for me for my science experiment, which actually was one of my favorite missions.
Yeah, I do remember that one.
Superhero-wise, she's not like saving the world. She's saving the neighborhood.
Yeah, one person at a time, pretty much.
Yeah. And actually, that ties in with the way that she upgrades her abilities. But before we get to that...
We haven't talked about her actual abilities at all.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm like, jumping the gun.
So let's
tell me how it works.
So essentially, Kat herself doesn't fly around like you might think she does. She, thanks to her cat Dusty, is able to effectively switch the direction the gravity is. So she can then fall in a different direction. So if she turns the gravity upwards, she'll fall upwards. And the way it's controlled on the Vita is like you press the R1 button to float, then you look around with the analog sticks or the motion control to where you want to fall, and then you press R1 again and that'll send you off in that direction. And I really like how when you do that, you have the kind of really fast, shaky motion blur sort of thing going on to make you have a real sense of speed. It works when you're doing the long distances, not so much when you're trying to maneuver around a tight corner or something, then it's just kind of irritating.
Yeah. I found it really disorientating. Pretty much through the entire time, I did not adjust to it very well, probably until I finished the game, and then I was doing post-game stuff. But the way that you control her, like, it's not fluid. It's okay. And I know this was a conscious choice. I realize that. I'm complaining about the dev's conscious choice in the way that she controls, but it didn't work for me personally because it disorientates me.
Yeah. But, so the devs basically wanted her to feel clumsy because she is new to these powers and she's not going to have mastered them. So when she's falling, yeah, she's kind of flailing around like she's helpless. And when she lands, she almost crashes into it. It doesn't ever really land on her feet. I think there's a good video about the disempowerment of Gravity Rush and how the character...
Oh, I watched that one too.
It was all right. The guy was a little bit pretentious. I'm not sure I liked him.
Oh my God, I was going to say I fucking hated that guy.
I was literally going to send it to you and be like, this guy dick. I hope he doesn't actually listen to this.
He won't. Nobody fucking listens.
It's true. But it was a good point about the whole disempowerment sort of thing, how it's an effective game device.
Yeah, look, the clunkiness works for the game. I have a few counter arguments against the disempower thing about that video, but we'll save that for a little bit later.
Okay.
There are certain sections in this game where they literally take the power away from you, which actually irritated the hell out of me.
Yes.
Yeah, I hated those, but... just in going back to the way that she controls. So the thing I found disorientating wasn't so much her ability to manipulate gravity. It's the way that the camera adjusts when you're sideways or upside down, or at certain points you kind of get rotated to almost upside down. And I don't know if it's just me. I couldn't find a button that would level out the camera because I'm just like, where am I facing? And yes, her hair will point down.
Her hair and a scarf will always point in the direction of actual gravity.
Yeah. But I still, I don't know, maybe it's because the screen's too small, but I was still the whole time like, I can't figure out where I'm looking, or I had to like stop and get my bearings, which was really difficult, especially in combat when you're supposed to be thinking quickly. But then like for example, the way in combat, you tend to attack most is by doing a gravity kick, which is to just manipulate gravity to go in one direction, and you basically just do this massive fly kick in that direction and hope to God that you hit the target, because there's no lock on, unfortunately. Very annoying. And sometimes you'll fly completely past the enemy and then stop gravity so you don't run into a wall or something. But then once you've stopped the gravity, you have to manually move the camera 180 degrees back behind you to try and find the enemy again and then manipulate gravity so you go in that direction. So that's what I found really disorientating, was trying to get my bearings every time I missed my target or I went too far one way or something like that. It was just very clunky in that respect.
Yeah. This is one feature that I can never forget about this game, disorientation and getting lost sometimes, because you can go underneath these floating cities and sometimes I'll be like, wait, which way is up? I'm lost. I've literally have no idea where I am. Although,
yeah,
I think L1 might have flipped you around to normal gravity, but I could be making that up.
No, that's true. Like L1 will always cancel whatever gravity effect you have and drop you down.
Yeah.
But you don't really want to use that when you're underneath the city because you're just going to fall into the storm.
True. So. Yeah.
It doesn't really... I don't think it equalizes your camera at all, which is frustrating.
Yeah, for combat, it was particularly annoying. And whether we'll get into combat now or later, it's definitely...
We'll do it now.
Yeah, it's not a good feature. It's frustrating and janky and...
Yeah.
Just a bit irritating. I think that it's part of the problem with the whole disorientation when you're twisting around and all the monsters that you're killing have these small glowing red spots which you have to kick, and sometimes, you know, they're just like covered in lube and you can slide right over them, and other times they're on, or they just, it's just really hard to hit.
Yeah, my note basically just says I dislike combat. Like, I just really did not like it. I did start to get used to it towards the end of the game, but even like in the very late stages when you're trying to fight bosses which move really quickly and your gravity, adjusting which direction you're facing using your gravity abilities is not smooth and is not quick. So when you're trying to catch up to a boss that's moving really quickly so you can gravity kick their glowing orbs.
Pustules.
They weren't pustules this time.
We should always call them pustules.
I was thinking about it, but like, no, not a pustule this time. What was my point? Oh, yeah. It was hard. Like, it was frustrating, and it never clicked with me to being smooth in the way that I wish it kind of felt like a Spider-Man game was smooth, but that's asking a bit too much for a game like this.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the combat was an add-on, whereas the actual gravity powers are the main feature, just getting around. But
I just wish there was less combat.
Less combat as well, and it only appears in particular story missions as well. Like, you can roam around the world fully openly when you're not in a mission, and pretty much no enemies appear. So yeah, it's just a bit strange how it only really appears during certain parts of the game, and when it does appear, it's pretty loads. But I mean, it's not that difficult. It's just frustrating. That's the only thing. There might have been a few times with some of the bosses where I might have died or early on when you haven't upgraded your some of your abilities and whatnot. But
yeah,
I think it is just like the time it takes to go around cleaning up all these little enemies, and sometimes you really got to look for them, like they might be hidden around goddamn corner or something. You can't find them. It's just like wasting time here.
I don't know. I mean, my favorite missions were the ones where I didn't have to fight anybody, or I just had to like go from point A to point B, or carry someone from point A to point B, or like I said earlier, put sensors up for a science experiment. That was fun.
Yeah.
But the fighting stuff, not so much.
Yeah.
So besides the gravity kick, you have a couple of special moves that are available. Don't ask me what they're called. I think one of them's like Typhoon, and one of them's Mini Black Hole and something. What was the other one? Tornado Kick or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, you have a couple of special moves.
It was the slide thing you could do as well. Which I reckon you'd love. You loved, right?
I hated... Okay, so... One of... Fuck. Deep breath. I hated the slide. So one of Kat's abilities is that she can slide on a surface, whether it's the side of a building or the ground or the roof or whatever. It's called a gravity slide, and it's basically like, how would you describe it? Like a Sonic type of thing?
I would describe it as Vanquish, if you've played that.
Okay.
It's just like the sliding in Vanquish.
Yeah, so you're sliding along, and the thing I really hated about this was the PS Vita uses move controls and touchscreen controls for this ability. I hate touching the screen of the Vita because it leaves fingerprints on it. I have to keep wiping it off. So to activate the ability, you need to put both of your thumbs on both bottom right and left corners of the screen, and then that triggers the gravity slide. And then you tilt the Vita left or right to move Kat left or right. And then you take your thumb off one side to drift. And then you put it back on to go forward. So if you're turning a tight corner or whatever, you take your thumb off one and then you tilt the Vita in that direction for her to drift in that direction. I hated it so much that I just stopped drifting and would just let go of the entire screen, reorient myself with the joystick, and then continue sliding. And then to jump while you're sliding, you like flick the Vita up and then she jumps. So motion controls, I hate them.
I hate motion controls too.
Yeah.
I can't think of a good game which I've enjoyed with motion controls, to be honest.
Look, there are some Wii games I can enjoy with motion controls, but I hate the whole especially PlayStation era motion controls, like the PlayStation 3 6-axis motion controls or anything like that where you need to tilt a controller or flick a controller that typically is not used like that completely fucks with my mind. The Wii remote, I can understand because you're always pointing with that. That's the whole reason for it. But tilting the Vita side to side or reorientating it, whatever it is, God, I hate it. It could not compute.
Yeah. I take it back though. The one motion game that I do like is Flower. That's a great game.
I didn't even know that was motion.
Yep. It's all motion.
Yeah, it is too. I played that on PS4.
I've played it on everything you could play it on.
I thought I had burnt that out of my memory, but no, it's still in there.
It's a good one though. I love that one.
to be honest, I haven't played it enough to actually give it a decent go. So I won't hate on it too much.
Good.
But yeah, okay, that's motion controls in Gravity Rush. Absolutely hated it. That was a very low point for me. So
indeed.
Back to Kat's abilities.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier that her reputation had an impact on the abilities. So as Kat explores the cities and the different districts, there'll be little pop-ups on her map where it's something along the lines of she needs to repair a fountain, or she needs to repair some lights, or something like that, which costs gems, which is the currency in the game. Thankfully, there is only one currency, so it's readily available, and it's also the currency that's used to upgrade your abilities in the submenu. So once she completes enough of these tasks, her reputation with the city goes up, which basically means that the higher her reputation, the higher the levels she is able to level up her abilities. So for example, in the very beginning, you might be able to only get 3 levels of Gravity Kick or something like that. But as you progress through the game and you gain more reputation, it allows you to gain more levels in those abilities. So by the end, I think it maxes out at about level 6. So yeah, each time it jumps in reputation, it jumps in levels that you can put gems into to level up your abilities.
Okay, yeah, I vaguely remember that. I mean, I certainly remember repairing the fountains and stuff. And weirdly, I actually quite enjoyed collecting all the big floating purple orbs. That was just something quite satisfying about that.
I can see how it would be kind of zen.
Yeah. Just floating around a city into these little purple orbs, looking at the scenery. Lovely stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, all right. That was a thing that happened and is part of the game. Moving on.
Next.
Next. Long load times. You probably don't remember.
I really don't remember.
Yep.
I'll just assume they were terrible. But bear in mind, I mean, we've just come from playing Vampyr. How does it compare?
It's probably about the same.
What? No way.
Yeah, there are certain parts that take forever to load, especially if you're warping from one district to another, or you've died and it's reloading to a previous checkpoint. It can take 30 seconds to a minute to load.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but that's always a poop.
Yep. All right, just take my word for it. That is a tick in the negative on my little invisible scorecard here. Oh, actually, I'm just checking my notes, but there was this one fun thing you could do, which I don't know if you ever noticed it, but you can touch Kat's butt on the touchscreen on the PS Vita, and she'll react to it.
How does she react?
She just kind of, like, puts her hands on her butt and then looks over her shoulder at the player and is like, don't do that. I was like, I swear to God, I didn't mean to do it. It just happened.
Yeah, when there's touchscreen, it's going to happen, right?
Well, I think I was testing to see if I could activate her gravity. Oh, no, I know what it was. I was standing in front of a portal. Get those squats going. No, I think I was standing in front of a warp point.
Yeah.
And then I think I touched the screen because I thought, oh, maybe, like, I just actually instinctually did it because it was almost like I was holding my iPhone. So I just touched it thinking, oh, yeah, that'll get it going. And apparently I touched her butt instead, and then she not like it.
Wow.
So fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't touch her.
I didn't intend to, but I did.
So interestingly, just completely changing subject from touching her butt, but apparently her design was based off of Gangaroo Girls. Have you ever heard of those?
Oh, yes. Yep.
This is what I heard earlier on. Like the 90s style in Japan, where everyone was just like extremely fake tanned and colourful, weird-looking clothes.
I am very familiar with that. as a connoisseur of Japanese films.
Yeah.
I've seen Ganguro Girls in many a film.
It was a new thing to me, man. I'd never heard of it.
Oh, my God. I've known about this for like 15 years. I used to joke about this with my friend when I was working at a donut shack back in like 2010.
I don't know anything about Japan.
Oh, okay.
I am completely ignorant.
Well, I used to show photos of... I had a Japanese friend back then, so it's okay for me to say this. No, I actually did have a Japanese friend, and I would show her photos and be like, hey, you should dress up like this for the weekend. And she'd be like, gross, no. So, yeah, it was a thing.
Nice. Did she ever dress up like a Ganguro girl?
No, but she was already really tanned anyway. So all she really had to do was bleach her hair, but that wasn't her thing. So she just didn't do it.
What a shame. What a real shame.
I know.
It's a great look.
That's right. It's definitely a statement. Yeah. So anyone listening, look up Ganguro Girls, G-A-N-G-U-R-O. Very fake tan skin and very bleach blonde hair with a lot of colorful clothes on.
Yeah. Do that and send in your pictures of your own Ganguro designs.
Yep. I don't know if that's true, though. Is that... So, we saw that in that video that we mentioned earlier.
I don't think it's really that accurate. Like, Kat is wearing a black dress. It's not exactly, like, that ridiculous. And she doesn't look super tanned either.
I mean, she looks tanned, for sure. But I think that's more to give her, like, an otherworldly...
Maybe, yeah.
...quality.
Just to show that she doesn't fit into this place a little bit more.
Yeah, she's an outsider.
Yeah.
But... when I look at this game and I look at Ganguro Girls, I do not think that they're even vaguely similar at all. So whoever said that they were based off that is reaching for straws there. So 100% disagree with that pretentious twat. Go back to smoking your weed and fucking praying with your empress tarot card and burning your sage.
I love how specific it is.
That nameless person that we will not name.
Well, anyway, away from him. We should talk about the world and the world pillar, because this was one of those things which, for some reason, I just really don't like. I hate the world. I hate that it's on a pillar. Like, I get it, and I don't really hate it. It's just the feeling that I get. It kind of, it feels depressing and, like, weirdly isolated, and, like, there's a big sense of hopelessness to the whole existence of everybody. They're just living on this dull pillar, and, like, where do they go? There's nothing. I hate it.
Sounds like you're having an existential crisis.
I think I am.
Yeah, I didn't hate that part. The thing I hated was in the story, how do I phrase this?
Are you talking about Gade, the world creator?
Yeah, they bring up all these concepts and then they never really explain what the hell is going on. So there's a guy that's like the creator of the world, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't really know what that means, or like there's all these sort of surrealist concepts that pop up. Like, so there are some dream worlds, and Gade, the creator of the world, has a portal in his chest that you fly into to bring back the portions or the different districts of the city that have disappeared.
Have we mentioned how they disappear? Like, they certain areas seem to get lost in gravity storms, that sort of thing. And is it mentioned why that happens?
No, and you never actually see it in the game happen. It just is explained to you that the districts of the city have disappeared due to gravity storms.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, but what does that mean? They bring up all these ideas and stuff, and things that I'm genuinely very interested in, they don't explain. And I'm like, please give me something here.
There's a lot of loose ends in this game. That's something I do remember. Yeah. And I remember the end kind of being a little bit quick and sort of unexpected, and I know that I wanted more. And just like you know that it had ideas and ambitions to lead into a sequel, which fortunately has happened. Whether that actually finishes up and tidies up some of the loose ends, I have no clue. I would hope so. It must at least clear up some of them, if not everything, but it's still a little bit shit just to have so many loose ends in a game like this.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I was disappointed when I finished this game. And it's, I guess we're talking about the story now, but the story is what I found really disappointing, because for a story so short, they really should have told something a lot more concise and enthralling, but I found it kind of bland because I have no idea what was going on. I had no idea who Kat is, and you never find out in the game. They start off with her, like they set up from the very beginning, she's an amnesiac, but they never pay it off. You never get any sort of resolution to that whatsoever, which is fine. But because it's the very first mystery that's set up, you're expecting a conclusion to that and it doesn't come.
Yeah.
Then there's like this dream stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which is all surreal and interesting, but it doesn't really mean anything, and there's no explanation.
There are various things implied throughout the story, but none of it's very clear. And if anything, probably just makes you more curious, and then more disappointed when you actually don't find out anything.
Yeah, like, I wanted some sort of resolution by the end of the game, which is giving me something. So, I can't remember which podcast we talked about it in, but I remember referencing back to Deadly Premonition, where it was, here's a mystery, we're solving the mystery, here are more questions.
Mm.
It's that sort of thing. I wanted an answer to some of these questions, then you can give me more mystery to resolve in another game. That's totally fine, and we can have fan theories and theorize day and night about what it all means, but pay something off and that before you give us more questions. Otherwise, I'm just left at the end like, well, what was the fucking point of that? Because I didn't learn anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Where did all my time go? I learned nothing about who this person is or why they're doing what they're doing or where their powers come from or what this world is and blah, blah, blah. So
that was disappointing. Yeah, we just need that little bit of clarification and satisfaction to keep us going, keep us wanting more rather than just continually filling us up with confusion and stuff.
Yeah. I've got an ass full of confusion at the moment and I'm not happy about it. It's seeping out and I want some answers. Yeah, anyway. I mean, having said that, like, that's my main complaint about the game is I was disappointed with the story, and while I was playing it, I wasn't having much fun, which is really disappointing for me because I wanted to like it so badly, and I love the style, and I love the music, but it never fully came together to be one of those games that actually, like, drew me in. I just sort of was playing it to finish it, which is a shame.
Yeah, although, as I said, it was quite a long time ago that I played. I do remember not loving it. And when I look at I looked at my trophies to see the dates between like the first and last. And I think the first one was something like in January. And then I finally got the platinum and even like the last chapter completion in like April. So even though this is what I think is probably like a 10-hour game or even less if you just run through it quickly, it took me like 4 months to complete it. So if it was a game that I really liked, I don't think it would have taken me that long unless I really was just trying to drag it out because I didn't want it to end, that sort of thing, which definitely wasn't the case.
Look, full disclosure, dear listeners, we're recording this a day late because I found it very difficult to find the motivation to play this game. Granted, I did finish it yesterday and we probably could have recorded yesterday, but other shit was going on. But anyway, the point is, I was doing that thing that you do when you know you have to do something, so you procrastinate by doing a bunch of other shit. that's what I was doing.
That's what my life has become these days, man.
Yeah, but normally I play games to procrastinate from real life. This time I was doing real life stuff to procrastinate from this game.
That's not a good thing for a game.
Yeah, and I actually might get the PlayStation 4 remaster and try again because I know that there's something about this game that intrigues me and I'm interested in and I like, but this experience on the Vita, I did not love.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to try on PS4 too. And also, I was wondering if you're likely to get the second one Are you likely to want to know what's happened? What, if anything, is answered in the second one?
Yes, I probably will. So that's saying something. Is I didn't fully hate this game. I was disappointed, but I'm committed enough to play the second game to find out what's going on, because I know that there's more here to be enjoyed, and I just hope that in the next one they pay something off. If it winds up being a rehash of the first game where they have a bunch of mysteries that aren't paid off, fuck, I will be so mad. I'll be furious.
It's that possibility of a nice clean resolution that's spurring us on, because I'm curious as well and I kind of want to get it.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for a sale, and if I see a good one, I will pick it up. Because doing all the research and stuff for this behind the scenes and not like ignoring the Vita stuff, looking at the footage of the PS4 games, the remaster and Gravity Rush 2, it looks like a game that I would enjoy and have fun playing. But when I was playing the Vita one, that did not translate for me for some reason. But I still want to play it and have some fun. Yeah. The PS4 version.
I just hope it's a case of they've taken what they did in the first one, what they did wrong, what they did right, and they've smoothed it all out and kind of made a polished product in the second one, which is much more enjoyable all around. So we'll see, I guess.
I've heard a rumor that that apparently the second game isn't quite as good as the first game.
Isn't quite as good?
Yeah, apparently.
I'll tell you what, man. I will watch a spoiler-free review, and if they say you don't get any resolutions, don't waste your time, I will probably still get it when it's really cheap, but I won't get it. No, I will. No, I won't. I don't know.
I'll still get it regardless, because I actually did watch a review of it, a spoiler-free review. It was the Game Ranks Before You Buy thing, so they're always spoiler-free.
Yeah.
And the stuff that he was talking about made it look like fun and something that I would want to do. And I actually think he said that it was better than the first one. But everybody else that I, like forums and stuff, tend to think that the second one isn't as good. I don't know why, but I don't really care what people think of it. I want to make up my own mind. And we all know I'm a contrarian.
So. Yeah, often we have opinions that differ from the greater majority of people. So maybe we'll love it.
Maybe we will. Maybe we'll get it, and then that thing will just click, and then Gravity Rush will become our new favorite series.
We'll talk about nothing but Gravity Rush.
Yeah, and then we'll cosplay as Cat and Raven. important a character that we never brought up, but there's a girl named Raven.
Oh, shit, yeah. She's like the bad cat.
Yeah, she's the foil to Cat, so she's another shifter, that is what they're called.
She's a shifty shifter.
Yeah, they both shift gravity. One has a cat, one has a raven. Fancy that. she's not super... I mean, she kind of is important, but I found that like most of the side characters in this game weren't really that important, and you don't really tend to learn that much about them. Raven, you learn a little bit more than most of the other ones, but at the end of the day, it's Cat's story, and Cat is the one that you're there to enjoy, I guess, or spend your time with, so...
Who needs the other ones?
Yeah, it's just fluff.
Yeah. But she's a cool character, like, from what I remember and from the short bit she's actually in, and it was kind of intriguing. I think all the characters are quite intriguing. Like, the guy with the flasher jacket with the universe in his chest. That guy's pretty intriguing. Like, what the hell's going on there?
Yeah, but they don't tell you what the hell's going on.
I know. Just want to know.
Fucking, where did that hole in his chest come from? Tell me.
I need to know.
What does it mean?
I bet.
What does it mean to be a world creator?
I really bet. We'll never find out what the hell that means.
God, I don't know either. So my interpretation is, this is not considered spoilers because this is just what I think is going to be the ending or the thing.
Yeah.
And this, put this on the record before we play the second game if we ever get around to it. But I think that the world that Cat is in the moment is like a pocket universe or world or something in its own little existence. And in the game, when they go to the world down at the bottom of the pill. what's it called?
The pillar.
Pole? No.
The world pillar.
Pillar. Pillar. The pill is a gay club where people go.
That's where the second one takes place.
Yeah. So the kids at the bottom of the pillar, I think that's another separate world, which is like another pocket universe thing, which is made by that blue haired chick, that psycho.
Oh yeah, I remember.
So I don't know, they're like existing in separate realities and just floating there, and then there's like dream realities as well. So I don't know, they're all like little separate things, and apparently there's got to be a bigger world out there somewhere. So
that's what
fucking,
I hope.
Who knows?
That's what I hope, man.
Who knows?
I mean, you've heard my existential crisis about the isolated nature of the world in the game. I just want that openness. I don't want to look down and see a big pillar and just a big abyss swallowing everything. I want to see land. Lots of land. Greenery. An ocean. I don't want despair.
If you lived there in Hexville, you would probably throw yourself off.
I would, man. I can tell. I absolutely would.
I would go to the Pleasure District and I'll just have some fun.
Maybe I'd do that. Maybe I'd just be a 24-hour drunk.
Look, I'm not a big drinker, but I could see myself becoming an alcoholic very easily if I let myself. So I'd probably do that.
Yeah, me too. For sure. Yeah. There's no question.
I had drinks the other week and I was like, you know what? I could get used to this. I could be an alcoholic,
yeah,
but I don't want to be.
Yeah, that was the same for me a few days ago. It was like, oh, I haven't done this for a while. It's fun.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is kind of fun. The next day, surprisingly, I didn't have a hangover, because normally I have a hangover after like two drinks, but I was good this time. I was like, oh, I could do this more often.
I felt absolutely terrible, man, but I drank way too much. And so I just got up really early in the morning and just jumped in the ocean. It was horrible.
Jesus.
But it kind of refreshed me.
Well, the time before that, I had like three beers, and the day after I would not stop farting. It was ridiculous. Like, I don't know what beer does to me now, but I like inflate like a hot air balloon and fucking my ass is just like all day.
All right, stay away from the beer, dude.
Yeah, it's a shame because I love the taste of beer, but
really hate beer.
I love beer. It just fucks my asshole so bad.
Well, that is a shame.
Yeah.
Surprise, you have to pay.
All right, let me just check my notes real quick and then we'll wrap this up. It looks like it's going to be a nice short one.
I was going to ask, did you have any favorite section? Like any favorite island in the game?
No, all the districts basically seem the same to me, other than the music that plays in them. The world itself actually feels really, really small and kind of barren. So I didn't particularly like any one spot.
Fair enough.
Did you?
I mean, a particular spot? I like the Pleasure District. I liked it because it felt the most alive. I like the music and just the design is pretty cool. But I also liked the, maybe the top area or second to top. I can't really remember the order, but the one where it was quite big houses. It was more like a wealthy area. I quite like that one.
Cool. Well, look, to be honest with you, all I remember is just like a sea of brown.
Yes.
All the buildings are just brown. Brown everywhere.
Maybe that's why the Pleasure District stood out, because there was like a little bit of pink somewhere. There was some red lights going on, for obvious reasons.
That's true. There were some lights. There was some pink in the sea of brown. So, yeah, that's good. Call that blood when you take a shit.
When you've had beetroot for dinner.
Oh, fuck. I've done that before. Oh, okay. Fun tangent for just a sec. When I was a kid, you know how you get like cake frosting in a can?
Yeah.
Sometimes? Yeah. So there was blue cake frosting and I'm sure there was other food to eat. I don't know. I don't remember. But I was a teenager. And so I decided that for dinner, I'm just going to eat this blue cake frosting. And then I sat in my bed, I don't know, probably playing a game or something, and then just kept spraying like blue frosting in my mouth. And then I finished the entire can. And the next morning when I went to shit, it came out bright green and I thought I was dying. I was like, oh my God. And then I realized it was all the food coloring that was in the the frosting.
Yeah, man. I feel like I've done stuff like that before in my life. It's always a surprise. It's always a bit later that you notice it.
So it's beetroot, right, that makes your Beetroot makes your piss pink, right?
Yeah. And your poop. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't notice the poop, but I definitely had a beetroot salad once, and then my pee was pink, and this is like maybe 2 years ago, I fucking literally nearly freaked out. I thought I had like an STD, I thought I was dying. I was like, what the hell has happened? And then I Googled it, and then it was like, beetroot.
Have you had beetroot?
And I was like, yes, I had a beetroot salad.
I know. I think everyone has that moment of what the fuck? Am I like bleeding from my dick? And then you remember that you just had a mass load of beetroot. It's like, all is well.
Not another STD. God damn it. Fucking if there's one out there, I'm going to catch it. Every time.
This has been a good beetroot starchy tangent right here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, checking my list, I have nothing else of note that I haven't already said. We'll ask the age-old question that we haven't asked for a while.
Mm-hmm.
If Gravity Rush is on someone's backlog, should they play it?
Oh, I think so. I think just for the fact that it's a very short game. So, in the sense that it's not the best, but it is worth experiencing, and it's not going to take a great deal of your time. And the music is great.
Okay. I would suggest, play it. I mean, probably the chances of you liking it a lot more than me are high because I have terrible taste, apparently. But I will admit that there is something very special about the art style and the presentation. And even though the story didn't answer questions that I wanted answered, it sets it up well enough. I would just say, even though I haven't played the PS4 version, go with that because it's definitely a lot nicer to look at. And I'm hoping it doesn't have the motion controls.
Or if it does, it has an option to just turn them off.
But yeah, either way, it would be a lot more easier to play with the PS4 controller than tilting your screen on the Vita, which I had issues with.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead and play it.
I wonder if on the PS4 one, all the DLC is included. Because there's like some costume...
Oh, it is.
...and side quest packs. They are included, right?
Yep, they sure are. Cool. Apparently.
Feels like they should be.
Yeah.
It would be a bit scummy if they didn't.
I did unlock one costume for Kat. I don't know if there's more to unlock, but I just left her as she was. I didn't want to change the way that she looked. I thought she looked just fine.
Pretty sure I left her as she was originally as well.
Yeah.
So you didn't get the platinum for this, right?
No, I couldn't be bothered. Goodness. I had enough.
Do you think you're getting? Or have you literally just said
no?
Well,
I 100% have made peace with myself, and I am fully aware I will not be going for the platinum in this game. And I'm okay with that because I suck at the challenges and I've just had enough. I don't want to play this game again.
That's respectable.
I'll play Gravity Rush 2.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
Yeah. I'll get the platinum in that one maybe on PS4. All
right. Whenever we get around to it.
Yes. All right. So, I guess that's that then. Let's do the socials.
Let's re-talk about game we're playing next week before that.
Oh, yeah. What game are we playing next week?
So we are playing one of the all-time best PS4 games. It's everyone's favorite. It is your boy, Knack.
Knack!
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 Knack. Knack, baby, as they say.
Knack, knack, baby.
Yes, we're playing that. We're very excited.
I actually am. I played a little bit of it today, and I was surprised by how much fun I was having.
Yeah.
I'll go on the record now and say Knack is better than Gravity Rush.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not going to comment on that quite yet. I haven't played enough of it. I've only two chapters in, so, you know.
we'll find out next time.
Alrighty. So, socials. What have we got?
Alright, so Twitter is at Bad Backlog. Kind of been a little quiet on there. We'll do some more tweeting soon. Instagram is at Good Bad Backlog. Twitch at Good Bad Backlog. We should Twitch something soon. Probably.
We should, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll Twitch some Knack. What a fucking weird sentence. I'll Twitch some Knack. Sounds like I'm doing drugs or something.
It does. It really does.
You want to buy some Knack? what else is that? YouTube. I've been really slack with the uploads for A Way Out on YouTube, but I'll get to that this week. But, you know, life is happening. Looking for an apartment. Shit's going on. I'll get to it. Don't worry, I will finish.
Just be happy with an episode of the podcast.
Yeah. So, YouTube, The Good, The Bad, The Backlog. And, of course, our merch store is shop.spreadshirt.com/goodbadbacklog. Get on there and get a hoodie if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, because apparently it's going to be winter now. So, good for you. get a hoodie. Keep yourself warm.
Do it.
Yeah. Or go fuck yourself. Okay. And so, we should thank our sponsors.
We should. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your sponsor for this week?
Okay. I would like to thank our sponsor, Blue Point Games, who they've officially said that they're going to remaster our podcast, much like they've remastered everything else in the world. Thanks, Blue Point.
Thank you, Blue Point Games. I would like to thank our sponsor, Subway, for supplying the footlongs.
Just bring us some sauce next time.
Yeah, give Kieran some sauce, and don't give me too many more footlongs, because it's really hard to deep throat all of them at once. All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.